Well, we've been teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit for this is about week number 5. And I'll tell you, I got some stuff here in front of me, some notes on several pages, and I'm about the most disorganized fellow you ever saw this morning. But this is not just an excuse. It's some things that happen in your life. But, I've known for all week kind of where the Lord's heading me. So then I had one of my former church members died, and after she was not with us, she had some dementia problems and didn't get hooked up with another church other than for a brief period of time. And so the family called me, and I found out, I went and saw her at hospice Friday, and then she died just shortly after midnight Friday night. And so then that was Friday. Any rate, funeral's this afternoon, 4:00, visitation at 3:00. So I spent about 2 hours with the family or more yesterday planning the mechanics of the funeral, and then I had a family reunion in Mooresville. I had to leave about 4:30 to go to that, and then I got back home and worked on some things till about midnight, and then I went to bed and said, Lord, you're going to have to straighten this mess out. I got a funeral and a sermon to get ironed out, but he hadn't let me down yet. But anybody remember? That's to let you know. That's why I went over calling for help. So stretch your hand out right now and pray for me, and not just for me, but what the word and what goes on here for the rest of this service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive it in Jesus' name. Anybody remember what the title was of the message last week? If you do, just raise your hand. I see Wanda does. I see, yep, Debbie does. What was it, Debbie? Oh, you're about 2 weeks back. Don't be an ignoramus. Okay, that's fine. Don't be an ignoramus. Last week I quoted Charles Capps. Many of you know familiar with his ministry. And when he said that sometimes, this was last Sunday morning, I quoted him and said, something I heard way back years ago, that the Word of God is so simple that you have to hire somebody to help you misunderstand it. When I quoted Charles Capps last week, I didn't know that last Sunday was his homegoing day. He was 80 years old. On Friday, he told his wife, I'm going home Sunday. He went to bed and went to sleep Saturday night and woke up Sunday morning in heaven. Another quote of his that I like, I posted it on Facebook, was, I don't practice what I preach. I preach what I practice. I don't practice what I preach. I preach what I practice. And I say that to say to you that all through the years, I'm not going to preach something that I hadn't got to work for me. Sometimes I have had really good sermons. I was excited about them. I worked on them. I studied on them. I really got up some good stuff. And if I couldn't think of a personal testimony, not necessarily that I need to tell it, but if I couldn't think of a personal testimony of how that had worked for me, I just said, well, I'm going to lay that sermon aside. Maybe somewhere that day I'll get to the point I can preach it. Don't just practice. You need to practice what you preach, by the way, but the best thing is to just preach what you practice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at it a number of weeks. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll find my place. I'm not going to turn around and see it, but I want to read it to us. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, it's right there where my string is. What do you know? It says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, and I told you how that's really, gifts is not in the original text. It's about spiritual things or the spirit realm. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. That's verse 1 and 2. That being influenced and led astray indicates that somebody helped you get to that place where you shouldn't have been. And I'm sure we've all had things taught to us in the past that maybe it didn't really fit the Bible that well, depending on what route you came to get where you are today. Because tradition begins to come in and take hold of things, and folks, even sometimes if they They've been in tradition all their life. If they see some truth, they're afraid of it and run from it. When it says don't be ignorant, the answer to that is you have to study. Study to show yourself, 2 Timothy, I think it's 2:15, says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have several. I've studied a lot of people's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit over the years. I've got one here. This is commissioned with power, an overview of the gifts of the Spirit by Gordon Lindsay. This was probably the textbook they used at Christ for the Nations, I think it was, and it's also the textbook we use at Life Christian University. And Brother Lindsay said this, just reading a little bit out of the introduction. He said, the gifts of the Spirit are among the most important topics in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul described the church as the body of Christ. He explained that the parts of this body are believers who exercise various gifts, just as the parts of the human body have different functions and purposes. In light of this, it follows that without the gifts of the Spirit, the church would become something very different from what God intended. Instead of being a supernatural organism, the church would be only another human organization. He says, I'm skipping over a little bit, and he says, during the great persecution, here's what began to happen. In the early church, for many years, the gifts were in operation. During the great persecutions of the 2nd and 3rd centuries, the gifts of the Spirit continued to be observable. But shortly after Constantine's edict, now Constantine, if you study church history, he was an important figure in church history, but it wasn't a good figure. But shortly after Constantine's edict, which brought the church into imperial favor, that's when the church starts trying to get in favor with the government. Which brought the church into imperial favor and made Christianity the national religion, the ministry of the gifts rapidly declined. However, it's important to note that the operation of the gifts of the Spirit never completely ceased. The story of St. Francis contains thrilling accounts of miraculous healings. When he sent his preachers out, he gave them the same command Jesus gave his disciples. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. That's the St. Francis you ought to know about. The histories of persecuted Waldensian and other sects show that the gifts of the Spirit were still functioning during the Middle Ages. In the 18th century, John Wesley recorded in his journal some of the remarkable Pentecostal phenomena which took place in the meetings of early Methodists. The Moravians and other contemporary groups also experienced many unusual supernatural manifestations. So while the operation of the gifts greatly diminished over the centuries, they never entirely disappeared. And when believers finally began to earnestly pray for their restoration to the church, we're talking about 100 years ago now, the present latter-day outpouring of the Spirit resulted because somebody decided they still was hungry and was going to look for it. And then I got a book here that it's kind of, you can tell this, I've had a hold of this one for a while, but Dr. Lester Sumrall on the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I just want to, just a little dab of this. I've told you how the gifts is the word charisma, or charismata, plural. The Greek word for spiritual gifts is charisma. It means something freely given. In its characteristic usage, it denotes an extraordinary ability bestowed by the Holy Spirit for special service. That is the reason I call these gifts, quote, the weapons of our warfare. That's when I started teaching this course. I talked about being weapons of our warfare. I got that from Dr. Sumrall. They are the gifts that from the Holy Spirit to enable the church to defeat any enemy which comes against it. Any enemy. The plural Greek word charismata is found in 1 Corinthians 12:4, verse 9, verse 28, and verse 30. The spiritual gifts of the charisma are operations of supernatural revelation, power, and inspiration. Supernatural. That means it comes from somewhere besides out of your head and out of a book. The spiritual gifts are operations of supernatural revelation, power, and inspiration to secure the church against the devil, the world, and the flesh. You think that's a battle worth fighting? Don't go to battle without your weapons. These gifts show an encounter with God. The gifts represent a co-action with the human personality and divine powers of God working together. It is divine-human inner working. God can't work the gifts of the Spirit without somebody cooperating with Him, some human, because they have to work through a person. The charisma is prophetic. I'm not going to read a lot of this. The only way the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 could possibly happen is for diversification to take place in the body of Christ, the church. To retain the move of the Spirit in one denominational group would be to eliminate the largest portion of the church. I know that some of y'all were in Pentecost when the charismatic renewal started, and probably this wasn't its way in your church, but in some Pentecostal churches, they were upset that God was letting Lutherans, Presbyterians, and God forbid Catholics get filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, it said the largest part of the church is being eliminated if we just keep it in one group. Therefore, God sent the Holy Spirit into every major denomination on the face of the earth. The work of the Holy Spirit can be seen in Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, and so forth. This was the only means to ensure that the blessing would reach the total world population. The charismatic move of God is the hope of the modern church. Hey, Brother Summerall wrote this, I'm sure, back about, I did, yeah. Actually, it's 1990 copyright, but I think some of the information was reprinted. Charismatic move of God is the hope of the modern church. While one group of Christians are handing out propaganda that God is dead, that miracles are not for today, that speaking in tongues ended with the first century church, an army of Spirit-filled believers from every denominational background marches toward the glorious return of the Lord Jesus. The charismatic move of God is global. The church faces the challenge, and I've shared these things with you sometimes in the past, not during this teaching, I don't think. One of the great dangers, Brother Summerall says, facing the modern church is that it will become one great referral station. It will refer the alcoholic to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, thank the Lord, we know of one that's gone somewhere they're teaching the Word of God. We're not opposed to Alcoholics Anonymous. My daddy tried that, and it didn't work for him, but then when he found the answer, he thought they'd be interested, so he went back to one of these meetings, and everybody introduced himself, and he got up and said, "I'm J.D. Howard, and I used to be an alcoholic." And they invited him to leave. he was confused. He didn't understand that you have it forever. It will refer, don't go into, if it helps somebody get sober, great. But I'll tell you something else my daddy said. He would go work with people that had drinking problems after he got saved. But if he found somebody that wasn't interested in getting born again, he said, "I'm not going to work with you just to get you dried out." He said, "If you're going to go to hell, you'd probably be better off drunk when you get there." It will refer the emotionally distraught to the psychiatrist. We talk about the church doing this. It will refer domestic problems between husbands and wives to psychologists and consulting clinics and attorneys. It will refer the incorrigible teenager to a house of correction. It will refer the mentally unbalanced to an asylum. The Holy Spirit move of God teaches that Christ is the answer right now. The key to this truth is in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. They are the weapons of our warfare. So there's a couple of old saints. Both of them already departed. You know, I talked about Charles Capps, and he announced that he was, told his wife Friday he was going to go home Sunday, and so he did. And Brother Summerall, Brother Summerall was just in his early 80s, but his wife had died. He was lonely without her, and heaven was looking better than here. And so he called his three sons in one day and told them, and delegated the different parts of the ministry. They have a big church in South Bend, and they have an international shortwave radio, Christian radio network, and they've got publication company. And anyway, he told his three sons which one of them was to take over which part of the ministry and head it up. And he said, "I'm leaving. I'm gonna go be with your mama and Jesus." And so that night, after he had that meeting, as far as we know, had no physical sickness at all. He just got in his rocking chair and rocked on off to heaven. Now, if that sounds strange to you, read about Paul. He said, I don't know whether I want to stay here with y'all. I would be useful to you, but I'm thinking about going to where it's far better. He said, oh, well, I made up my mind. I'll stay here and help you because you need me. And then later on, he writes to Timothy and says, the time of my departure is at hand. If you want to see me, you better come soon because I'm leaving. I finished my course, kept a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Well, why not go on if you finish the job? So at any rate, all that's some extra stuff. I'm just saying, I'm not pointing out that, because I've been after this stuff for 35 years or more than that, 37 at least. And but the key to ignorance is study. I've listened to a world of tapes. I have listened to a world of CDs. I had to pay for them. I had to invest my money into learning the Word of God. I want to talk just a little bit about, well, let me read verse 7 through 11. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I've read this every week. To one there is given, and he's going to name nine gifts. There is given through the Spirit the message or the word of wisdom. To another the message or word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all these work together. These are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. I'm going to talk a little bit about the revelation gifts, and that is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Why are they revelation gifts? The Bible don't call them that. It's because they reveal something. And the word of wisdom is a supernatural. Every one of these are supernatural manifestations. Every one of them. You can't scholar yourself into this. In fact, sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes a lack of education might even help you, particularly if you've had a lot of spiritual, theological education. The word of wisdom or message of wisdom is a supernatural revelation. You don't have to write this down. If you were one of my students at school, it'd be on the test, but we're not going to have a test. A supernatural revelation of God's own mind and purpose concerning the future. Now, why concerning the future? It's too late for you to get wisdom about the past. You already messed that up. But he is trying to give you a message or a word of his wisdom, and usually a word of wisdom requires action on your part for it to come to pass. And we'll get some examples in a minute. And then the word of knowledge is very similar to it, except the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God, just something he knows you don't know. And he knows a lot of stuff you don't know. And it tends to be more about the present and the future. That's when you see somebody that operates in this gift and they point somebody out and say, you're dealing with such and such a problem. Well, how do they know that? The Holy Spirit told them. They gave them a word of knowledge about what's going on in that person or whatever. Discerning of spirits is a supernatural revelation or insight into the spirit world by seeing, hearing, or perceiving in the realm of the spirits. Now, you might see angels. You might see demonic spirits. Are you even, as I said before, sometimes we perceive people's spirits. But it's being able to see in the spirit realm. One example I gave you before, one of the simplest ones to let you see, is when the prophet and his servant were down there in the valley and all the enemy coming against them, and he said, there's more with us than there are with them. And the servant said, one, two. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. Well, when he gave him the discerning of spirits, he could see into the spirit realm. He saw all the angels and chariots of fire. Now, angels can take on human bodies. I mean, not, well, physical bodies, I'll say. Because angels appear to people, might be in a vision, but sometimes even in a physical form, it looks like. But these were angels that were out. Most of the angels, in fact, all the ones that's in this room this morning, thank you for being here, angels, are not visible to us right now. But if that gift of seeing into the spirit world would open up your eyes right now, you'd see stuff. You'd say, man, I didn't know all that was going on. There's more happening in the spirit world than is in your natural world that's going to help you or hurt you, either one, because there's a dark side to it. So, all of these are God revealing something to you that is unknown to you, but known in the spirit realm. These gifts. This is why you need them. I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm going to, for first example, I'm going to read about another Holy Spirit and His gifts teaching book by Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs. I could quote all this to you just like I thought it all up myself, but I just will give credit to the authors. And I got to find a page I wrote down here for myself, 86. All right, here's a couple examples, biblically. Think about Ananias, Acts chapter 9. Don't pull the scriptures up. You want to look in your Bible if you want to, but this is when Paul, on the road to Damascus, had been struck blind because of the bright light he saw. And he said, and he submitted himself to the Lord, and the Lord told him, the Lord gave him a word of wisdom. He said, go to Straight Street. I'm going to send somebody. So you know what Paul did? Now, if he's blind, he probably had to get somebody to take him. I want you to take me to Straight Street. Why in the world are you going to Straight Street? Somebody just told me to go. Now, see, Paul, if Paul had refused to go to Straight Street, would have never heard of him. But then at the same time, God said, I'm going to send somebody. So now he's got to talk to somebody else and tell them something. So it says in chapter 9, and there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. So the Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision. And so here, the word of knowledge came to a layman through a vision. Ananias wasn't an apostle, as was John. He wasn't a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher. The Bible calls him a disciple. He was just a member of the church at Damascus. If the Lord wills, he distributes these gifts as he wills, right? He said, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And so this was all in a vision that the Lord gave him this stuff. He told him, where to go. He told him which house to go to. He told him who to talk to. And he told him what he's supposed to do when he got there. Ananias had no way in the natural knowing that stuff. Most of that was a word. There's some word of knowledge involved in there and a word of wisdom, then telling him what to do about it. Here's a modern example. We could all come up with examples like this, but I want you to understand that this one I'm going to read you. Similar things have happened in your life if you've been listening to the Lord. Hadn't you been somewhere and the Lord just you knew that you were supposed to call a certain individual? Or you knew you were supposed to stop and talk to somebody about something? And you get that thought, and you know what we tend to do? Every once in a while we listen to it. But the more you find out it works, the more you'll listen. Brother Hagin says, this manifestation of the Spirit isn't just for the early church, but it's for us today. Many years ago, a Spirit-filled Baptist brother who was president of his local chapter of the Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship, but the folks at church probably talked about him, I hate to tell you, and one of the executives for the company he worked for, he told me of an experience he had along this line. He related, I passed by a large Roman Catholic church in my automobile, and something seemed to say to me to stop. I pulled into the church parking lot, stopped, sat there praying for a little while. Then that something seemed to tell me that the priest would be praying in his office in the rectory, and I should go in, lay hands on him, and he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't believe that, don't believe Acts chapter 9 either. He said, I hesitated, the Baptist brother said. I didn't want to make a fool of myself. I sat there and prayed a little while longer, and then I decided it wouldn't hurt just to go see if I could find him and see if God was really leading me. Too many times folks get things messed up because they get ahead of God when he speaks to them instead of waiting and following him softly and letting him open the door. The Baptist brother continued. I finally found my way in. I knocked on the door of the study. Someone invited me to come in. I opened the door to see a man sitting in a chair in front of a desk with some books open in front of him. As I entered, the priest got up and greeted me, and we introduced ourselves. The Baptist brother said, The Baptist brother told Brother Hagin, when the priest heard that I was the president of the local Full Gospel Businessmen's chapter, he immediately said, "Praise the Lord. I was reading about what God is doing these days by the moving of His Spirit. I was reading about this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and the Lord just witnessed to my spirit that this is what I need." The priest said to the Baptist man, "I am conscious of my own spiritual lack. Only 10 minutes ago, I bowed my head on my desk and I said, 'Dear Lord, I don't know any Full Gospel people. I don't know anyone in this town who has had this experience. Send somebody by to pray with me.' And here you are." That priest got down on his knees. I laid hands on him. He began speaking in tongues almost instantly, lifting both hands to heaven. And then the priest got up and hugged me because he was so grateful. It was the word of knowledge and manifestation that revealed to this Baptist brother that there was a priest in that particular church who was praying to receive the Holy Ghost. That stuff's still working today. Now, you remember about Elijah? When he was down by the brook Cherith, he went there because the Lord had told him to. And then when the creek dried up, you got a couple of choices. You could stay there and just cry and moan and groan, and, "Oh, Lord, my creek dried up. I lost my job," or whatever it is. Instead of that, Elijah decided to find out what God had to say about it, and God said to him, "Get thee to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So not only did the Lord tell him to go to Zarephath, told him where to go, he told him what to expect when he got there, but God had already spoken to that widow woman and said, "There's a preacher coming, and I want you to feed him." So if you hear some preacher on TV preaching, wanting your last biscuit, make sure God told you to give it to him before you send it in, okay? Noah, there was going to be, God spoke to him, gave him a lengthy word of knowledge. There's going to be a worldwide flood. And then he gave him a word of wisdom, and it was really good wisdom. Build a boat. And here is the plans, and it's a big boat, and it's going to take you a long time, and you're going to have to spend a lot of money at Lowe's and Home and Depot buying stuff to build it. But you know, when God guides, He provides. I'm sure God made provision for Noah, but he still had to go pay the bill. And it says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, being warned of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I've asked people all over the place for years, what was it that saved Noah? And people start trying to make up a religious answer. The answer was the boat. What saved Noah was the boat. Not just faith, but the product of his faith saved him. What he did with his faith saved him. So he got that. Then I'll give you some personal ones. One of them was in August 2010, I came here to preach the first time I ever came. I didn't know if I'd ever come back again or not. I mean, I just didn't know because I just come up here. Y'all needed a preacher one Sunday. So I met with Larry and Kenny and Brother Lee over at Cracker Barrel. And we talked about things. And they got to know me a little bit. And they said, "Now, if we need you more than this one time, do you have any openings?" And I said, "Well, I've been staying pretty busy." And I had. I'd been preaching somewhere about every weekend for a good long while. I said, "But as of right now, my calendar is open till Jesus comes. I don't have a thing scheduled anywhere." See, the Lord prepared that too. And so I came that one Sunday. I've told you this before, but it's gifts working. So Monday morning when I got up, I'd been up and around a little while, but I remember I was in the bathroom, had just finished brushing my teeth, and the Lord said to me, "They're about to call you and ask you to come starting in October." I'm not making that up. The Lord said to me, "They're about to call you and ask you to come starting in October." And as soon as that was over being said, my phone rang. And it was Larry. And if Larry remembers, he can tell you. He told me, he said, "We had a meeting of elders last night." And he said, we all agreed and we'd like to see if you could come. But he said, "We got his missions month in September. We got people lined up for all those Sundays. I want to know if you can come starting the first Sunday in October and stay till the end of the year, other than what Sundays we might need to bring in somebody to try them out." And I said to him, he said, "I just wanted to let you tell you that so you can pray about it." I said, "Normally I would need to pray, but I don't need to pray because the Lord already told me you were calling." And so I gave him a yes right then. Well, then, of course, I stayed on a little bit after that. All right. So, you see, that's this stuff working. If you don't, there's another whole course that you need to go with this, and that is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the way you do it is just like this guy did here did. He said, well, I don't know about this, about going to talk to that priest, but I'll at least go knock on the door and see if there's somebody there praying. That can't hurt. Test the waters a little bit. All right? I don't write notes about stuff like this much. I wish I'd have done it more during the years, but it just so happened it was last week. Actually, I don't remember exactly which day it was, but last week I left the house. I was going to some kind of business or something, and I didn't eat breakfast at home. I was going to stop at Bojangles and get me a cup of coffee and a ham biscuit, which is not an unusual occurrence for me. I don't do it every day, but a couple times a week maybe. And that's where I always go. It's so convenient. I go in there and I get senior coffee, you know, and all that stuff. And the biscuit's pretty good. And so I pulled in, got out of my car, went into Bojangles, was standing at the register. And the Lord said to me, this is the wrong place. The Holy Spirit said to me, this is the wrong place. You're supposed to be over at Trapman's across the street. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice. It was that inward voice of the Holy Ghost talking to you. And I like Bojangles. And I'm already in there, and I'm already in line. I mean, actually, I'm already up at the register. He said, this is the wrong place. And so I went out and got in my car. I went over across the road to, up about a block to Trapman's Barbecue. I went in, and I saw two people I knew. And one of them was a former church member of mine. He's a man that I, precious African-American brother, that I prayed with him, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost back in, about probably 78 or 79. I don't know. Hadn't seen him in a long time. I sat down. I ordered me a ham biscuit and a cup of coffee. That was not, God didn't tell me I couldn't have the same meal. He just told me I was in the wrong place. So we just chatted a while. The other fellow got up and left. And so I just felt this unction, and I said, John, how are you doing? And he said, everything's fine. I said, how are you doing? He said, I tell you, Pastor, I've been having such pain in my back, I can hardly stand up. He said, as long as I'm sitting, I'm okay. But when I stand up, I've just got pain so bad, it's unbearable. And I said, we need to pray for you. So here we are, Trapman's Barbecue down there. I mean, it's a pretty big place. It used to be an old Harris Teeter store. Pretty big. And it's breakfast time. And I said, John, I'm gonna pray for you. So I stood up and I reached down and put my hand on his back, and he stuck his antenna up. If something's coming down from heaven, he wants to catch it. You know, lightning bolt or whatever. And I just prayed a prayer for him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And so then I was in there, I guess it was Saturday, I believe, or sometime. I can't lose track of some of those things. And I saw him in there again. I said, how's your back? He said, it's a lot better. I said, it's working. Just keep saying it's working, it's working. I'm convinced that God changed my breakfast plans because there was a man over here that needed prayed for. You believe that? But see, if you're so set in your ways, well, yeah, God, that would be good, but listen, I like Bojangles. I don't know what Tony said, but it'd be worse for her if God told her to go to Bojangles. She would really have a struggle with that, maybe. But Friday, I tell you about my mother all the time. Next Saturday, Mama's going to be 98. I hope I can get her to church Sunday. So Friday, I talked to her Friday night. Now, she's been under hospice care for about almost 2 years. She's not interested in dying right yet. But they're a big blessing to her because, they pay for her medicine. Most of everything that relates, the expensive stuff that relates to her breathing problems and whatever, they take care of that. And then the nurse comes, a registered nurse comes to see her a couple of times a week so we don't have to take her to the ER. And the CNA comes in from hospice and gives her baths so we don't have to go through the assisted living routine of figuring out when somebody might give you a bath. So anyway, it's a blessing. But the hospice chaplain came Friday to visit, which she does sometimes. And Mama's already got the hospice nurse. She's had her for a long time. Mama gave her her promise book because this girl kept asking her where all these scriptures were because For, you know, my mama got her on the one about God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And she'd come in, where is that? So mama said, here, just take the book. I can't see it much anymore anyway. But so the hospice chaplain came. And my mother told me on the phone. Now, she's just telling me the events, you know. And she said she came in here to see me, and there were some other people in the room and stuff, and she talked to me a little while. That's what they do. And my mother, now, she's got macular degeneration bad enough that if I go in her room and don't say something, she might not know who I am. So it wasn't something she saw with her physical eyes, but she saw something with her spiritual eyes that lady chaplain was dealing with something, had a burden. And so she asked her, the lady's about to leave, Mama said, let me ask you, are you dealing with something? Is something bothering you? And the lady said, well, I'm amazed that you picked up on that. Well, you see, she shouldn't be amazed if she knew how the Holy Ghost works. And so my mother ministered to the chaplain. Okay? That was the Holy Spirit working through the gifts, letting her know. Probably, I don't know how she got that. If the Lord told her, she didn't say. It could have been a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. It could have been discerning of spirit. She just picked that up in her spirit. Now, how do these things come to us? I'm winding up. It can be, as you look in the Bible, at how these revelation gifts come. Sometimes they're in a dream. Sometimes they're in a vision. Peter up on the rooftop, right? And had a vision. And sometimes they come through prophecy by some God giving it to somebody to speak to us. And sometimes you're the one he gives it to speak it to somebody else. So sometimes they're delivered by prophecy. Sometimes they're delivered by an angel. Paul said, there appeared unto me this night the angel of the Lord. He's on a ship toward the end of his ministry, toward the end of the book of Acts. He's on a ship, there's in a storm, and he comes up there and tells these people that wouldn't believe him when he said, the Lord told me we shouldn't leave this port but stay here. And so he got up there and said, everybody just be calm. For the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, appeared to me this night and said to me, Paul, don't worry. We're going to lose the ship, but I'm going to save the folks because of you. I need to save you, so I'll just save the rest of them while I'm at it. And so it comes to angels. They're God's messenger service, and this is a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge. Well, who do you think would probably want to bring a message? God can send a messenger in the form of an angel and appear to you. And sometimes, like a lot of the things I said to you, it's just an inward witness or a still small voice. I'm going to try to tell you quickly a couple ways we position ourselves for the gifts to operate. To walk in the Holy Spirit and hear Him requires, this is something I found this sheet of paper here. This is some of the, I said I got some stuff in here. Some notes I'd written in December 2011. To walk in the Holy Spirit and hear Him requires surrender and obedience in little things. Now, when I saw that surrender and obedience, it jogged my mind about something. And I sent, that was the word the Lord gave me to give us for 2014. I sent it out on the prayer chain last night so you would have it. You ought to print it out and save that and read it. And then Joe sent me back a reply that said, I'm hungry and I'm excited about what has been happening and what is going to happen. And he told me this morning, he said, I don't know what it is, but I've just, for the last couple of months or something, I've just been excited. So the Lord said, I said here, to walk in the Holy Spirit, hear Him, requires surrender and obedience. So the Lord said this to me early in the year 2014, you will have access to an open door. To enter in, you must have a hunger for more, of the Word, more of the Spirit, more submission, and more obedience. All right, and then there was a little bit more about Him restoring things that you used to have working for you that's not anymore. So we just have to learn how to walk in the Spirit and listen to the Holy Ghost. When I was working in a secular job, some of you do this, and I'd be working with a new man sometime that didn't know what he was doing. And you can't explain everything to them at once. It's here a little, there a little. And I might be down under about a 60-foot-long truck scale. or maybe even a railroad track scale. It weighs about 400 pounds when it weighs them. And I'm down under there, and we got to jack things up, and you got to stick your fingers into some critical little points that if the jack comes down, you might come away with no fingers. And so we have some help under there, and I tell him, now you just do such and so. And they look at you and say, well, what do you want me to do after that? I said, after you do this, I'll tell you what to do after that. Let's don't get you confused. Let's do one step at a time here. Well, that's the way the Lord kind of deals with us most of the time. And you think about, I can't prove this out of the Bible. I just like it because I heard somebody say it a long time ago. When God said to Moses, take your shoes off your feet, I think this might at least be part of it. I heard one preacher say, you know what? I wondered why God said take your shoes off. Now, I know he was on holy ground. But he said, I believe one thing is he wanted to find out if he'd take them off or not. Said, a man that won't even take his shoes off when you tell him to certainly won't go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And then Paul, I already talked about it. He said, go to Straight Street. That's all he told him. Naaman the Syrian, man of God said, go dip yourself seven times in the Jordan River. He got all huffy-puffy upset because we got cleaner rivers than that in Syria. And his servant had enough sense to say to him, listen, if the man of God had told you to do something complicated, you'd have done it. Why won't you do something simple? God usually leads us with the simple stuff. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He told Philip, go over. He told him where to go. Go over and join yourself. Walk along beside this thing. Then he told him what to say. Then he told him what to do. And he just followed the instructions step by step and then got a free ride home real quick, translated. And I had an experience back in 1911. I prayed one morning, Lord, I make myself available to you for anyone who needs ministry. I do that a lot. I make myself available to you, Lord, for anyone who needs ministry. A pastor friend of mine up in western Pennsylvania came to my mind. He was on my mind, and he had been on my mind the previous day also. And so suddenly I knew what to pray for him. I'd written these notes down to remind myself. Suddenly I knew what to pray for him. I got a word of knowledge what to pray. And I knew what action to take. That was a word of wisdom. And I needed to send him an email right now. That's what I need to do right now, send him an email. But I had something on my agenda that I thought I needed to do. So it's time to make a choice, right? The Lord's telling me I need to do this right now, and I got something on my agenda I need to do. Time to make a choice. More submission, more obedience. And a key that I have found is almost every assignment God has given me for 35 plus years has interrupted my plans and schedule. Wanda's learning what it is to be married to a pastor. You know, we had things, we were going to do something tonight. We had two lunch invitations for today. And, but you know, somebody just decided to die. And my plans changed. And so I'm getting warmed up now to preach a good funeral this afternoon. Geneva said that's what I was called to do anyway. But I found for about 35 plus years, every assignment God has given me has interrupted my plans and my schedule. But those interruptions always open the door for something bigger. That day I got that notion. I'm just going to read you this quickly and then I will close with this. I sent that pastor in Pennsylvania, and he'd been a friend of mine. I knew him, and he was dealing with something. It's something kin to MS, but it's not that, but it's a nerve thing, and he loses strength in his legs and had been battling with that a good while. And so I said, Pastor Steve, I pray for you and Denise, and I'm going to mention down here that the Holy Ghost was giving me these words. You know, sometimes you write something out of your head, and sometimes you know it's not out of your coming out of your skull, but it's coming from something. I know the difference. And Tommy Brandt had a birthday Saturday, and I sent him a birthday greeting. And usually I told everybody, have a blessed and happy birthday. That's my birthday greeting. That's all you've got, Jessica. Lord didn't say anything else. But I wanted you to have a happy and blessed birthday. But when I did Tommy's, there was something else. I put that, and then it said, I was supposed to put, good gracious, I don't even remember what I said now, but it was wonderful. Huh? Yeah, but there was something in front of that, too. Did you say the same thing to him? Before or after me, but we hadn't seen each other. Me and Leslie sent him the same, exact same wording. I know it ended with your best days are ahead. Something about big opportunities opening up, bigger things opening up. And I didn't make that up to send to him. It was prophetic, and then found out, because I knew Leslie sent me something that said, did you read my comment and copy it, or did you think of that? So I said to Pastor Steve, I said, I pray for you and Denise often and more than usual yesterday and today. The Lord has had me praying for these past 2 days for a restoration and a strengthening of hope. I know that in a long battle, even when faith stays firm, hope can begin to wear thin. I believe the Lord gave me a scripture assignment for you today. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 through 20. I will not read that right now. Begin in March 2000 when I met you. You have sown more than you can imagine into my life from your messages at AFI, your book, and in conversation. There is still work to do. Many people of faith are praying for you. Call any time I can be of assistance. Now, I knew I was supposed to do that. And so I got back a reply right away, but not instantly, but real quickly. He said, it's a blessing to hear from you. You are hearing from God. The last few days have been very hard physically and emotionally. I just got home from having an MRI to see if they can see what is going on. My wife and I both cried and rejoiced in Jesus when we read your email, knowing he is working for us and you are standing with us. Thank you for praying. I'm just saying, God told me to do this. He told me to do it now. He told me what to say, because he knew somebody up in Pennsylvania that needed to hear that. And then I wrote back to him. I said, "This, you know this, but I'll emphasize it. What I sent to you today came to me by the Holy Ghost. God did not supernaturally give me this word for you just to help you today, but it will have lasting results. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. After you've heard all the good CDs you have," well, I've promoted my own self here. He knows me well. After you've heard all the good CDs you have, if you can't find anything else, go to jimhoward.org and listen to some audio messages. Brother Steve, I don't feel qualified to instruct you, but I'm qualified to pass on to you what I sense the Lord saying to me. No matter what the MRI says, the Word of God's still true. You know, I fought a long, hard, mean battle for my wife, and I know what a long fight does to us. That's one reason I have such compassion for you and others in a long battle. She got tired of the battle and wanted out, and I let her have her wish, but you and Denise and your partners in this are about to receive new strength and encouragement and fight on. And then he sent me back a reply again, and it was good too. But all of that was to say, stuff like this, you know, when you think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't think about it's got to be some big dramatic thing that's worth Cecil B. DeMille making a movie out of. A lot of times it's just in the simple little things. God says, go to Straight Street. Go to Troutman's Barbecue this morning instead of Bojangles. Why not? It's okay. By the way, they got free senior coffee over there, but you have to spend at least $3 to get your free senior coffee. But anyhow, so revelation gifts, I didn't dig into them in detail, don't need to, but all of those work along that line, and God is going to say something to you. He's going to reveal something to you that you do not know in the natural. I did not know in the natural that Steve Milliner was going to be going to the doctor and getting an MRI that day, but God knew it. And God don't do email. At least I never got one from him. But you know what he does? He has me and you send one. Or pick up the phone and call somebody when you get that little lunch. And listen, if you miss it, what can it hurt? It don't hurt. It doesn't hurt to greet somebody anyway. Learn to listen to the voice of God. And then when we remind about the wedding feast at Cana in Sunday school this morning, but the number one key to miracles, that was the first miracle, is what she said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. Let's all stand. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, for what you've done in our midst all this day, Lord, to get the wonderful worship we had. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya coming up and reading that and then sharing with us what she did, Lord. And she just acted on some stuff right here last night, Father God, and she stepped over out of one place into another place. And I know the devil keeps trying with all of us, Lord, but she's got a taste of how you can get rid of that burden and trade your stuff in for something better. And that's what we need to learn to do. But then today, Lord, the word you had for us that we constantly during this teaching, it seems like I can teach the mechanics of how these gifts work, but it always seems to be going toward the direction of why and purpose and all that stuff, Lord. And we need to get a hold of that. If we get a hold of the purpose and know that we are a vital part of your army, and unless we get ourselves in a position to be able to hear the orders, the instructions coming down to us, and act on those, that the battle is not going to be won to the degree you want it won. We've got to learn to listen to you and respond and be quick to obey. And so we all want to do that. I'm convinced of that, Father. And just thank you for what you're doing in this church. I don't know where we're heading, but you do. And we're just going to follow you one step at a time. And we will be where you need us to be when you want us to be there. So thank you for it, Lord, and for personal and individual problems that are in this place this morning. We join our faith as a church, Lord. I think a lot of people unloaded some stuff up here at this altar this morning. And, Lord, I think you would say to them, don't get it and take it home with you. Just leave it there. And so we thank you for all that, Father, and give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And we're going